I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories.
Hi, my name is Anna, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a former midwife turned midwitch, and I now work with women worldwide, assisting them in having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. I offer one-on-one sessions and packages and online courses for conscious mamas who don't want to leave their birth up to chance. I also mentor current and aspiring birth workers in my Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship Program. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment right now and leave a review. They mean the world to me and is also your way of helping me reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. Together, we are changing the birth narrative, one birth story at a time. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Olivia. Olivia is a mama of two from the US. As so many first-time mamas, she was overconfident about her ability to have a natural birth in a hospital, and so ended up having the typical American hospital birth, flat on her back with an epidural and her legs up in the air being told when to push. She put in a lot of work in preparing for her second birth, still planning on having a natural hospital birth, and ended up having a short but empowering labor and birth with her daughter that ended in a surprising way. As soon as Olivia got into the car to go to the hospital, her body began pushing. The hospital was 20 minutes away, and her daughter was crowning by the time they arrived. Her head and body emerged with one final push after about a three-hour labor, and her husband caught her before she fell on the floor off the car. It was an empowering experience that brought them closer together because it was something that just the two of them did. This episode is sponsored by Informed Pregnancy Plus, a brand new pregnancy, birth, and postpartum streaming platform packed with informative and entertaining video content. Among their comprehensive and growing list of movies, you can watch iconic films like Ricky Lake's amazing documentary, The Business of Being Born, and the juicy and empowering documentary, Orgasmic Birth. The mind and body section includes meditations, yoga classes, fitness workouts, and belly dance for birth, all included within the subscription. You find workshops and book reviews and TV-style series on topics from fertility to breastfeeding and everything in between. I highly recommend this streaming platform to all my clients as well as my mentees in my mentorship program because there are brilliant resources in there. And the best news is that you can try Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free of charge. Just visit Informed Pregnancy TV and start streaming today. Hi, Olivia, and Hi. Welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for coming. How old is your little bubba that you're having with you today?
He's 3 weeks old.
Oh, wow, sir. So little. So today we're going to hear about her birth story, of course. That's, I think
you're going to have a unique story for us today. I'm not sure I have had anyone on that has had your story. I'm not going to spoil it. But before we dive on into that one, let's go back to having your first and having kind of the standard American birth story and the wisdom you took from that and how you kind of prepared differently for your second. So take it away, Olivia, wherever you want to start with falling pregnant the first time.
So my first daughter, Eleanor, she was due January 27th of 2020. And I intended to have a hospital birth, but I did intend it to be a natural birth, no epidural or anything. And I was just very overconfident and didn't really prepare anything. Like I just thought women all around the world do this. They've done it in history. They still do it. Like I can do this, no problem. So on her actual due date, I felt like cramping in my legs, kind of like my legs felt heavy. And then the next day I woke up and I don't know if it was the bloody show or the mucus plug. I assumed at the time it was the mucus plug. Like I saw that before I went to work and I thought, oh, this doesn't mean anything. So I went to work. And with that pregnancy, I'd had some Braxton Hicks contractions, but not many. And pretty soon after I got to work, like, they weren't painful at all, but I was feeling them, like the tightening. And I was kind of staring at the clock and seeing, like, this is happening a lot. And I went to the bathroom and saw I'd lost, I don't know if it was the mucus plug or bloody show, but there was more. And I'm a teacher, and I think I just kind of stopped responding to my students at some point because I was just, I wasn't really sure what was happening, and I was focused on, like, what is happening? So it was actually them telling me, you need to leave, that I was like, you're right, I should probably leave. So I went home.
What kind of age is your students?
Middle school. I was 8th grade.
Wow.
So they're like 13, 14.
I'm so surprised as a Swedish woman that so many of you Americans, you work until you go into labor. Like that's just in my mind, just like I can't imagine not having a few weeks of like resting before you're going into labor. But you're like onto it until you go into labor. Was that a choice of yours or yeah?
No. And I'm sure you've heard about FMLA, like the 12 weeks. But I actually didn't qualify for that with my first daughter because it was my first year of teaching. So I just qualified for 6 weeks off.
Wow.
So yeah, I needed to work until that happened so I could save that time. But then I went home and things kind of stopped and I was like, oh, I feel stupid. Like nothing was happening. I didn't say anything to my husband and he came home from work around 5 and we went for a walk. And like we walked out and then I was like, oh, this was maybe a mistake because the contractions really were picking up. We made it back home and then it was just very intense from the beginning. Then once I started feeling those real contractions, they were coming like every 3 minutes, which I wasn't expecting. And my husband was trying to pour warm water over my belly, which helped for a while. But we were in an apartment at that time and you could hear through the walls. So I didn't really feel comfortable. I wanted to be quiet. And it just took me a little by surprise. So we ended up going to the hospital and they did a cervical check, which I don't think I was aware of because at that time I was with like a midwife group and they had never done that. It was very painful. And they're like, oh, you're not in active labor. I don't remember what the number was. Mm-hmm. So I was already in the hospital gown, like, which was not very covering. And they told me to walk around. So I was very uncomfortable walking around the hallways, like with the back of it open in a lot of pain. And we had been in like a triage room and I don't know what was happening in the one next to us, but I heard a baby crying and I heard like, I guess the husband and some parents asking about the woman. I don't know if she was okay or something, but it scared me, whatever was going on over there. So then after I think 2 hours, we went back and I had another cervical check and she was like, oh, your water's broke. which I didn't notice.
Did they break when she did the vaginal exam, you mean?
That's what I think happened, because I feel like I would have noticed that otherwise. And then they're like, okay, you can go into the room. And at that point, I was just so stressed out that I wanted the epidural as soon as I got into the room. But I feel like if someone had been like, okay, we're in the room now, like, let's just settle in, that I would have been fine. But my husband, he didn't like seeing me in pain. So he was like, yes, get the epidural.
Yeah. And so how did the birth eventuate after that? Did you birth your baby vaginally? And
yes, they came back in for the third cervical check, and they didn't get to do it because she was like, oh, the baby's coming down.
Sounds pretty quick then.
Yeah. And it took 45 minutes then of pushing, and they were commenting that my contractions, I didn't feel them, but they were commenting that they were very strong, and then like questioned me after if I had had a baby before. So, no.
Really? That's a funny thing to say.
Yeah. So,
what was with this birth that made you think that, okay, for my second, I really want to have a natural birth? What changed? What did you learn?
Well, I absolutely hated the epidural. Like, I don't like drinking too much alcohol because I don't like the feeling of not being in control. And I didn't do much research, so I didn't think I fully understood what the epidural was. Like, you can't move. I thought you just couldn't feel. You can't move. And I remember like trying to pull up my legs to change my position, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't move. I'm there in the bed, which was not a good feeling for me. And then afterwards, when we were moving to the next room, I was like, I can walk. And they're like, you can't. And I was like, no, I can. So they're like, okay, you can try. They caught me because once I got up, I could not walk. So I hated that feeling of not being in control.
Yeah.
And like, I felt the parts that took the longest to heal from were like those interventions. Like, I have a scar in my hand from, I don't know what it's called, like that big port thing they put in your hand.
The IV cannula. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a scar in my hand from that. And I had a catheter, you know, because I don't know if they always do that, but they put a catheter in because I had the epidural.
Yeah. When you have the epidural, you have to have a catheter because you don't feel otherwise if you wee yourself or, you know.
Yeah.
Of course. So yeah, you need a catheter. And also, depending on where you are in the world, some places around the world have what's called a walking epidural, which is different from what you had. But mostly, I would say in the US and like in Australia, epidurals fully kind of numb you and you can't walk or move or really control down below.
Yeah. And I felt like it was the catheter that took the longest to heal. That's what I was most sore from for the longest time. So I didn't like that. So the second time, my daughter, she was actually due October 11th, but she came early, this one here. I knew I needed to do a lot more research. I was watching birth videos. I was just like reading on the computer and some books, like how childbirth goes, different ways to manage the contractions, how to recognize the different stages. And I also discovered your podcasts, which I listened to. So I felt a lot more prepared this time, but like this birth didn't go. I mean, I'm very happy with it. It was a very good experience, but it didn't end up following those stages. So I was a little caught off guard. I mean, I know there's a range of normal, but she came at 38 weeks. So that was a little surprising for me too. But I had felt that she was going to come early. I kept telling people that I had no reason to think that, but I guess it was just intuition that I knew she was going to come early.
Yeah. So were you still working this time around as well?
Yes, I was. And I had had a very stressful day the day that I went into labor. And I don't know if maybe that had anything to do with it, but for Friday that she came, it was the third Friday. So 2 weeks before that, every Thursday and Friday, I would just have really intense Braxton Hicks. And I think it was because I was just tired because I was 9 months pregnant, working. And I had them much more throughout this pregnancy, but they would just very much intensify Thursday and Friday. And 2 weeks before she came, I actually peed on myself in a work meeting just because they were so strong that it squeezed out the pee, and that was super embarrassing.
Wow.
So the week that she came, it was the same thing. And I'm like, oh, here it just goes again. They're getting more intense. It's just the normal Thursday, Friday thing. And then after my daughter had gone to bed, I came downstairs to get a snack and had one. And Hicks, it just felt like it had like more of a bite to it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's something, maybe it's not. So I went back upstairs, and at 10 p.m., I felt something. I felt like a pop and some wetness. And I was like, oh, maybe I just peed myself again. But like that pop was weird, but I'm just going to sit here in bed. And then I felt like another gush. I was like, I don't think this is pee. So I went into the bathroom, and like the bed was wet and my underwear was wet and my pajama pants were wet. And then it's just like still dripping on the floor. When I took my pants off, I'm like, I don't think this is pee. I went downstairs, and my husband was in the garage in his workshop, and I left like a trail of it all the way through the house. And I went to him, and he's like, yeah, that's not pee. But I wasn't feeling really anything yet. So I was like, okay, I know it can take maybe 24 hours for something to happen. Like, it's 10 o'clock at night. I just want to sleep. But I did. I called my brother and my dad because they were going to watch my daughter. And I was like, get some sleep, but you know, I might be calling you. And they're like, okay. And then I texted my doula too. And I told her the same thing. Like, I'm just going to try to sleep. Like, I'm kind of too tired for this to happen tonight. So I was laying down in bed. Well, when I was contacting them, I was feeling kind of like menstrual cramps. That's what it felt like. But pretty shortly after I laid down in bed, it seemed to be more full on contractions. But the contractions were weird because like they didn't really seem to go away. Like they had two peaks, and I didn't remember that from before. So it's like, this is strange.
Do you mean that you felt like you constantly had a contraction, you didn't have breaks in between, or what do you mean?
Yeah, like when I thought it was going away, like it started to taper off, Then it would ramp up again. Right. And then they did stop, but there wasn't like that long between them.
Yeah, right. They were just coming one on top of each other. Yeah, I understand.
Right. Hmm. But in my first labor too, once I started feeling them, they were very close together. So I didn't like necessarily think too much of that, but the two peaks was weird. So I was still just laying there, and my husband had come to bed because I had told him, like, oh, I'm starting to feel something, like you should probably sleep. And then I was just like involuntarily making a noise, and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, but I'm going to go downstairs so that you can sleep. And that was about 11 because I had texted the doula again. But at that point, it did take me, I couldn't finish the text messages all at once. I had to like pause a couple times because they were coming. I never actually timed them, but they were just coming pretty close together. I was like on all fours for a little while. Then I was like, oh, these are kind of strong. I had thought that's how I wanted to labor, but that's not really doing it for me. So then I got on the couch, like kind of upright on my knees, leaning over the back of the couch. And I had heard several women say on your podcast, like, to do the vowel sounds, and that can help. I was doing that, and it really, really did help. And I was trying to be mindful, not to scream, just to make the sound. Very quickly, they were just so close together that I couldn't really do anything else. like first I tried to get up and go to the bathroom. But then I had one on the toilet and I did not like that. And I had some coconut water that I got, but then I couldn't make it back to the couch. I'd have to like stop and hold on to the counter. And I considered going upstairs and getting in the shower or something, or sitting in the bathtub because the water had helped me before. But I was like, I don't think I can go upstairs. So I'm just going to stay here.
What kind of time frame are we talking about, Olivia? Like, so your water's broke, and then you talk us through where we're at in your journey.
So it was 11 p.m. So an hour after my water's broke that I went downstairs. And my last text message to the doula was at 11:20. And after that, I couldn't text her. I was just in it. And then at some point, my husband, I didn't know, but he was listening to me upstairs and he heard, I guess I was getting louder and like sounding more frequently. So he comes downstairs and he's like, I'm going to start getting our stuff in the car. Where's your bag? And I'm like, I did not pack a bag yet.
Yeah, because you didn't think that you would have a baby at 38 weeks. So many women get caught in that actually do have babies earlier. Just not thinking that they would have a baby before 40 weeks. And your term from 37, you should really be ready by then. But, you know, you're not alone with not being ready. Whether you're having a home birth or like a birth center birth or a hospital birth, like it seems to be a quite common theme that women go like, oh, I didn't expect this.
He kept telling me that I needed to pack it. So that's my own fault that I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know where my stuff was or the baby's stuff was. I put that stuff away. And he wanted to have the conversation of where is this stuff? But the contractions were coming so quickly that I just like growled at him. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to go find it. So he went up to pack the bag. And it was a little bit before, I saw this text message later, but a little bit before 1 a.m, that the doula had texted me that Scott had called her. So he called my brother, he called my dad, he called her, and my brother and dad headed over. And then he was wanting the doula to come to our house. And she's like, I think if I come there, we're not going to make it to the hospital. So I think I'd just better meet you at the hospital.
Did she hear you on the phone, or how did she know?
I think so. Yeah, I think I was being a little loud.
Calling all the women back to the village. Have you felt the aching longing in your blood and bones, sister? The longing to belong to a village of women walking alongside you through life and rites of passages. A sisterhood who nurtures and supports you as you navigate living in harmony with your own and Mother Nature's heartbeat and cycles? Do you know in your deepest heart and soul that we were never supposed to live this independently and isolated to each other as we are in our modern, unnatural world? Then the Maiden Mother and Maga Village is what you have been longing for. In our village, you will find the women who know that they carry magic within their wombs, that know they are powerful, sovereign, and holy by nature. The natural, conscious, open-hearted, and empathic ones from all over the world. Until we live back in the physical village, let us be your village. It's not the same, not nearly as nurturing as a physical village, but it is nourishing. It is supportive and it's available 24/7. It is emotional, spiritual, and mental support, and it's all online, accessible to all. We gather the first Wednesday of every month in a deeply nourishing sharing circle that finishes in a Mama's Q&A full of support and wisdom. And you can now join us for free for a whole month to see if this sisterhood village is for you. You don't have to do motherhood by yourself, dear heart. There is a community of like-minded women ready to receive you in a big warm hug if you let us. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
My brother got here first, and he was actually very helpful. Like, he was helping my husband find things and just like standing by me, not talking to me, which I appreciated. And he kept going to check on my daughter. And then my dad got here, and he's a doctor. And when he was in the military, he had delivered quite a few babies. So shortly after he came in, I started having a contraction, and he's like, how far apart are they? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't timed them. But I don't really feel like I'm getting a break. And then he started timing it, and he's like, they're 30 seconds apart. You need to leave.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I just need to go to the bathroom first. So I went in there, and I think my dad had gone upstairs to check on Eleanor. And Scott came in there because I was just wearing a t-shirt, and I had put on like an adult diaper after my water broke. So I was just wearing that. So he was trying to get me to get dressed, my husband. And I screamed at him not to touch me. So he went out of the bathroom. And then my dad is like, where is she? And he's like, in the bathroom. She told me not to touch her. And my dad's like, no, she's not in there to use the bathroom. Women go in there and have babies. Like, she needs to come out.
I love your dad. Yeah. He's so on top of it. He's like, yep, she's in the bathroom to have a baby.
Yeah. So he came in there too. And they determined that they would just shove the dress on over the clothes that I was wearing.
Yeah.
So they did that. And then my dad's like, come on, you need to get in the car. And I'm like, no. He's like, okay, well, I'll carry you to the car then. I'm like, no, that sounds awful. I'll walk there. So I walked out to the car, like with them on either side of me. And I knew there was no way I was going to sit just on my butt in the car. So I had like my legs tucked up under me, like where I was sitting on my heels, kind of like sideways in the seat. Mm. And I there was like one more of those contractions I'd been feeling. And Scott starts driving, and then they just stop. And I'm like, oh, like I've heard that, you know, when you're in the car, that can happen. But then, like, maybe 2 minutes later, I feel something, and it doesn't hurt. But I'm like, oh, that's pushing, which I hadn't felt before because of the epidural, but just hearing the women tell their stories, like, I knew. And it was really such a relief, like, because I didn't know how it was only a 20-minute car ride, but I didn't know how I was going to do that, not be able to move freely. And these came, there was more of a relief. They were about 2 minutes apart.
So you got a breath, like catch your breath, yes. Pause to just find your center. So we're talking like 2 hours after your water break here or something that you got going towards the hospital.
Yes. And
feeling pushy.
It really did not hurt at all. Really, it didn't. It just felt like, you know, sometimes you're having a really good poop, your body is just doing it. That's really what it felt like. But I was still making sounds, so Scott still thought it was just like what had been happening. And anyway, he was focused on driving. And it was about 20 minutes to the hospital. So he kind of stops outside a parking deck when we get to the hospital because he doesn't know where to go. And at that point, I felt like some stretching. So I unbuckled my seatbelt. Because I'm like, I think I might need to make some more room here. And he calls the doula asking where to go. And she's like, can she walk? And he looks at me and I'm like, I just shake my head. And I hadn't told him what was happening. So she tells him to go to the emergency room, like the, because you can pull in there, just pull your car there. And so he goes there. And I'm like, I think the baby is coming, like now. So he runs inside and is like, my wife is having a baby right now. Can someone come out? And they just were very confused. Surely, people have babies in hospitals. They were just very confused, and they were not coming. So then he's standing there waiting for them, but they're not coming. So he's like, I better go back out to the car. And at this point, I was thinking, like, there's no way that's not a head that I'm feeling.
So are you still sitting? Are you in the front seat on your
heels? I'm in the front seat. Yes. So I'm still there. Yeah. And I was like, the bar, you know, I was like pulling up on that. And I couldn't really move. And I was wearing that adult diaper. So he comes back out and he starts trying to pull me out of the car. And I'm like, no, stop. I need you to help me. And he's like, I'm trying to help you. I'm like, no, you need to help me in the way that I'm asking you to help me. So I told him to cut the diaper off. So he did that because he always has a pocket knife. And then I was like, look to see if there's a head. And he looks. And later I asked him, and she was just crowning then. Like, it was just like the, you know, the little hair.
Yeah.
And then like immediately I push again and the head and body just comes out.
Wow.
And thankfully he caught her, because otherwise she would have slid onto the floor of the car just because of the way that I was. And then she was crying right away. But like, you know, I was slightly worried for a second. Like, is she okay? Like, she's just born in this car. So I was just slightly worried, you know, because there was no one there. But like I said, she was crying. She looked a bit blue, but I had learned from other women's stories that doesn't mean anything. And she pinked up. So then still a couple minutes where I'm just sitting in the car holding her. Like, my husband, he caught her and handed her to me. And then they all start running out. And then they're like, oh, the baby's already been delivered.
Like, yeah. Yeah, you birthed your baby.
Yeah. And
how did you feel about that when you were sitting there with your baby? I hear you were a little bit worried first, but then you recognized she was, you know, breathing and she was pinking up. How did you feel? Were you in your body? Were you like shocked? What was going on for you? Because you just birthed your baby in the car.
I mean, it was surprising, but I wouldn't call it shock. Once I saw that she was okay, I was fine. And to be honest, I had been very worried about the hospital. Like I didn't want the interventions. I was worried they're going to do cervical checks, even though I put on my birth plan. No. So I was worried about all those things. And so I was thinking, okay, now we don't have those things. So we go in then, and we're still in the ER, and they were just very confused, like I said, which worked in our favor. They acted like they'd never seen a baby before. So one of the guys, I guess he was a nurse, was like, okay, we'll put in the IV now. And I was like, for what? And he was like, for safety and stuff.
And stuff.
I was like, that's not a good enough reason. So how about we just wait till that stuff happens? And he's like, okay. And then they're like, well, I guess we'll cut the cord now. And I was like, no, I'm going to cut the cord, but I'm not doing it here in the emergency room. And they're like, okay. Cause I think they just didn't want to be doing this. And then our doula comes in and I start feeling, I think it's sort of like the contractions for getting the placenta out, but then they didn't want to let me get out of the bed. They wanted to move me to the proper floor. So I was like, okay, let's go. But then they got lost. They couldn't find it in their own hospital. So it took an absurdly long time to there, at which time the contractions had stopped. And then there's a midwife there and some nurses, and they just surround me, like very close to me, asking about the placenta, like about Pitocin. And the doula's like, no, she just had a baby in a car. She doesn't need Pitocin. And then they're asking about cutting the cord. And the doula points out to me that, like, it's been plenty of time. It's no longer pulsating. It's white. I was like, okay, so I'll cut it now. And I did that. But then just with them, like, standing there looking at me, and, like, the contractions had already passed for the placenta, I was like, you can try pulling it out. I don't want any Pitocin, but you can try pulling it out. So the midwife pulls it, and it comes out, and it's fine. But then again, it was kind of convenient for us because they were very full that weekend. So they had moved me to a labor and delivery room. which I didn't need, but all the recovery rooms were full. So the nurses who come and check on you, they didn't come downstairs to where I was. So we just got left alone for hours, which was really nice. We just got to sleep and be with the baby and no one was messing with us. And then I think it was still that same day, like after a couple hours, they moved me up and we left the next day. But it was fast. It was good. It's like a cool thing that my husband and I got to do together. And it did make me feel really powerful because it's like I didn't need help. I did this myself. It's like a good feeling.
If you become pregnant again, would you choose to have a home birth instead?
So with my dad, there was a big progression. With my first daughter, he was not supportive of my idea to not have the epidural. He said to me, just get on the bed and have the baby. But after this one, he's like, there's no point in going to the hospital next time. Like, I'll just bring what we need.
Your dad's going to be your midwife next time. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I love that.
Because I did look into a home birth, but our insurance didn't support it here. And we were not in a position to just pay for that. So
where are you based?
In Georgia. Mm-hmm. And our insurance company on the other coast of the country, they do cover home births there, but not here. But they didn't cover it and we couldn't pay for it. So
yeah, I understand. So I didn't get it. Well, it sounds like your dad knows what he's doing. It sounds like a little mini midwife there. And he knew you were going to have a baby on that toilet. And had he just left you there, you probably would have had a baby. I mean, you said it was 20 minutes to the hospital. So it's literally, had you just stayed for 20 more minutes, you'd have a baby at home. It sounds like also that I found it curious that the first time around that the midwives asked if you had a baby before. And it seems like you do, I guess, open your, birth channel easily, and that you had plenty of time there in the car to bring her down. You just had to take that diaper off and have your husband there to be like fully, okay with birthing that baby on all levels. I guess you probably could have pushed her out before, but you're probably keeping her in because you were alone, in that car.
Yeah. And I mean, my body was doing it. There was nothing I could do to stop it, but I certainly was not leaning into it.
You weren't imagining having your baby in the car. You were like kind of imagining that, I'll probably get picked up by someone and I'll probably go into the hospital and have my baby into the birth suites. But then your husband came and you're like, okay, here she comes.
And I forgot to mention that with my daughter, because I felt those contractions were so strong and so quick at the beginning, and the nurses were commenting on it too. That time I had been drinking the red raspberry leaf tea because the midwives had suggested that to me. And I didn't know if that had anything to do with the intensity of my contractions. So this time I did not, because I was wanting them to not, but that's just how they are, I guess.
That's just how you birth. Yeah, I'll be curious to have you back for your third and see if she or he shoots out in half an hour. Who knows? Maybe next one will be a rocket.
Yes. So
you had like a labor and birth of about 2.5 hours. Is that correct?
Yes. It was very fast. Yeah. So I was glad that it didn't start at work and that I was home.
Yeah. I mean, mind you, it did go this fast probably because your waters broke as well. Yeah. That intensifies things. And so with your first, obviously you did have an epidural, but it sounded like it was quite fast that time as well. How long was your first birth?
It was maybe like 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I knew the second ones are faster, but I'd heard they're like maybe half.
Yeah.
So okay. Maybe 6 hours, but no.
Well, I guess you did have a little bit of feeling before as well, coming and going.
So. Yeah.
Your body does. Yeah, I think a lot of people think that you know, you can open without knowing. You can go walk around like 3 centimeters, you know, for weeks. When you have what you think is Braxton Hicks or prodromal labor, your body's still doing things in, you know, different layers of you are opening or getting ready and stuff like that. And with raspberry leaf tea, what it is, it's a uterine tonic. So it tones your uterus. It doesn't necessarily make your contractions stronger. It's not that powerful, but it's a woman's herb. You know, it's great just to just kind of for the health and well-being of your womb. And it just makes it, it's like a strengthening in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I just chose not to do it this time because I didn't know if it had anything to do with, with how it was, but
yeah,
I did not need it.
Well, that was an interesting birth. I think you're absolutely the first one who's had a baby in the car. Oh no, I'm lying. Actually, we've had one previously who had a baby in the car, but I love that story. I mean, love. I think it's amazing that you felt empowered and strong. And I hear, and you said before that you and your husband, you know, you bonded even closer with this experience of doing it all by yourselves. And that's so powerful. I mean, I do think it's a shame that you have to move and have a baby in the car instead of, you know, just having had maybe a midwife at home or, you know, being in the comfort of your presence of your dad, if that was your choice. But what a cool story. And, you know, women birth babies, and it happens. It happens everywhere. A lot of people, you know, ask me about, you know, where can you birth your babies? Like, you can birth your baby anywhere. You can birth your baby in the lake, under the tree, in your garden, you know, on the kitchen floor, in the shower, on the toilet, on the bed, in the bath. You can birth your baby however you want. I think the hardest thing to birth a baby would be standing upside down, but you could probably birth your baby that way too.
Probably. Yeah. And I mean, I honestly didn't mind it being in the car because at that point, like I said, it was not painful at all. It was, the pushing was a really,
yeah, that's an interesting thing too. You know, you're not alone feeling that. You know, some women definitely feel like it's a better sensation than the contractions. And you would say you didn't feel any pain. So what was the sensation if you would describe it for someone who never experienced it?
It was truly just like pushing out poop, which I was also doing. Mm. And that's what I was saying to my husband. And he's like, it's fine. But it just felt like a big poop. Even I was slightly worried once I knew that she was crowning that it was going to hurt then, because I've heard about the ring of fire, but it did not. I felt stretching, but it didn't hurt.
I love that for you. I love that. So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now who's about to have her first baby and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
First of all, I would say that it is necessary to do some kind of research, to have some kind of knowledge just about how the process of childbirth works and different strategies that you could use to help you. Because I feel like if I had had some of those strategies that I learned about after, I would have been fine. But I didn't know about the vowel sounds. I didn't know about like being upright and moving around. Like learn what those are, and you might find that the ones you think are going to work may not. But if you know about a few, then you have some choices when you're actually in labor. And I would also say to make sure you have support, because like I had said, the first time around, I didn't feel like my husband and like my dad supported my desire to not have the epidural, to have a natural birth. So then when I wasn't feeling that, it's very easy to be like, I don't know, just be swayed in that moment.
Yeah.
So maybe educate your partners too, because my husband, after he'd seen it the first time, he's like, I trust you. You know more about it than I do. So that was helpful, having his support.
Yeah.
So those are the main things, knowledge and having good support. And we hired a doula too. So she was still very helpful, even though I had the baby in the car, just having her in the hospital after, she was still an advocate for us. So I would recommend having a doula too.
And even if you hire a doula or a midwife, and for some reason they don't make it to the birth or come, just after, whatever, the education, the support, the security you feel, the safety that's with that relationship could potentially be why also you could have that baby by yourself. Like, because you feel that support somehow, even though she wasn't there. And I think sometimes people might go like, oh, I didn't need, but like, think about how that relationship strengthened you, what you learned, or just a little bit of pieces of advice, or just knowing that someone's on their way. You know, for someone, say, example, if you're having a home birth and it's just going really fast and the midwife is like not there as you birth, but just knowing that she was on her way might have been also why it went so well. Like, you just really trusted in this whole process and in letting go and knowing someone's on their way. So there's also like, this is multi-layered, isn't it? Also how the support people can support you even when they're not there.
Yeah. And this time we had different insurance. So I didn't really like the prenatal care I got, but with having the doula, I felt like more of that continuity of care, that there's one person that I feel comfortable with and that I can text. Mm. And my husband said that, like you said, knowing she was on her way, that made him feel a lot better too. And then he felt empowered once we were in there, still in the emergency room, to be like, no, we're not making any decisions until she gets here because she's on her way.
I love that. And it really needs to be like, a doula, support person, sacred birth advocate, have their place, but like, it really needs to be the mom as well, to be like you did, like, no, I don't need that. No, I don't want to cut the cord. No, like, we're not going to do this and that. And you wouldn't have that if you don't have knowledge. Like, you need knowledge to be empowered in those decisions. And you need to know those things before. You need to know the routines in hospital so that you know what you want to accept and decline. So it's not going to be all overwhelming. Like, you've probably felt the first time, just like not really knowing up from down and what you wanted. And
And I did use some of that during the pregnancy, because I felt like every time I went in, it was like a battle. Mm. Like, for example, at the 20-week ultrasound, I was fine with having that. But then after she was done, the ultrasound tech, she wanted to do a transvaginal ultrasound.
What?
No. And she's like, well, if you don't, then you're going to have a greater risk of hemorrhaging and having an emergency C-section. And I'm like, that is very false.
Yeah.
So having the knowledge, it could be a crazy thing to say.
Yes. Crazy thing to say.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your birth story with your beautiful Baba. I hope that one day you'll come back and share about how your dad caught your third baby.
Yeah, we're thinking about it.
Thank you so much, Olivia.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.